In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
When I look around my campus, I see the faces of the women affected by this lack of contraceptive coverage.
If she's really concerned about the rights of privacy, she should keep her private sexual business to herself and pay for it herself.
Have we become a country where it's okay to go to church on Sunday morning for 1 hour, but let's not actually express those beliefs the rest of the week?
If you really hold to sola scriptura, you're going to hold to solus Christus, meaning all theology is Christology.
Organists in Indiana love Issues Etc.
Century reformer Martin Luther. Well, here's a man who knew prayer himself. He's often quoted as saying he had to pray extra hours every morning, depending on how difficult he thought his day was going to be. He urges people to begin the day with prayer and the sign of the cross. And he wrote a little something about prayer in response to one of his friends and actually a barber that he frequented, Peter the Barber. And what he says in there is that prayer is serious business. Now, we know this. We feel guilty when we talk about prayer as Christians because we don't do it as often as we should, or we do not pray for what we should pray for. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, 14th of March, from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest for the first few minutes. We'll talk about two issues. This last weekend, Sunday, was the one-year anniversary of the Japan tsunami, and that's a very sad anniversary. We'll get his thoughts on that. We'll also talk a little bit about Martin Luther and prayer. And then a little bit later in this hour, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery of Patrick Henry College will be our guest. Two stories out of the UK that we want to talk to him about. One is a possible ban on crucifixes and crosses in the workplace. And also, the UK is planning on legalizing same-sex marriage, full-blown same-sex marriage, by 2015, and the Roman Catholic Church is up in arms. Our call-in number, live on this Wednesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor Matt Harrison is a regular guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of a column in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, A Simple Way to Pray. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
Sunday marked the one-year anniversary of those just devastating tsunamis that hit Japan, and it was all in the news coverage. What are your thoughts reflecting on that one-year anniversary?
I just wonder what's coming next. I was over there about, I think I was on, it was on the date 100 days after, and I was able to get there. And we traveled up the coast with a number of our Lutheran partner churches, friends and church members. The several Lutheran denominations there had come together with a consortium of aid. We were able to provide them at the time with $1 million and now more. And they've been providing very strategic places for care for our folks, housing, health care, a number of needs. When these kind of events strike communities, there are long-term psychological, emotional, and of course spiritual ramifications. Our partner church over there is just a tiny, it's a tiny church, and there's only about 1% of the populace which is Christian. So the Christian church in general has a very steep uphill climb. And nevertheless, they've been able to, our Lutheran friends, with our help, have been able to make a huge difference in a largely Buddhist community up on the coast. And they continue to do so, and they simply do it out of love and mercy and offer their help and bear witness to Christ as they do it. So I'm really proud to know them.
You have written recently about Christian prayer. It's something that I think probably every Christian struggles with, is the devotion of prayer. It's guilt-inducing.
Yeah.
But you say that Luther wrote something that is a must-read for the Christian on prayer. What is it?
Volume 43 of Luther's works. It's called A Simple Way to Pray for Peter, Master Barber. And Luther was sitting in the barber's chair one day getting a trim and a shave. Peter Beskendorf was the barber's name. He had been cutting hair and trimming beards for 20 years for the town, especially the faculty members of Wittenberg University. And Peter asked him, "Well, Dr. Luther, how do you pray?" And Luther went home and wrote, peeled off a track. The track is about 15 pages or so long, and it's just a delightful piece. Peter later fell into great difficulty. It was, I think, the same year, 1535, on Good Friday, that in some kind of quirky event, he ended up murdering his son-in-law. And according to one account, the son-in-law was claiming that he had some kind of way to ward off any kind of attacks on his flesh, and he told his father-in-law, "Go ahead, drive the knife in, it won't even touch me." Well, anyway, Peter was sentenced. Luther had pled with the prince to get the sentence reduced to manslaughter instead of murder, and the guy was removed from the duchy and had to spend his life in exile. It's a real sad story. But out of this came this simple way to pray, and I think every Christian should look at it. The genius of Luther here is to combine rote prayer, or prayer based on text, with a kind of a free-flowing meditation, which is really marvelous. A lot of people think that you either have to do one or the other. You either have to pray kind of ex corde prayers from the heart, or you have to pray written prayers. Well, Luther combines the two in an ingenious way. He always bases his prayer upon a solid text of the Word of God or the Catechism. And then he prays it according to a fourfold pattern. I call it ITCP, Instruction, Thanksgiving, Confession, Prayer. So if you just say, I'll just tell you, Todd, mention some text of the Bible or some part of the Catechism. Just mention it to me right now.
Okay,
here.
Say, do not be anxious for anything. Consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field.
Okay, very easy. Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. Dear Lord, you instruct us here that we are not to be anxious over anything, and that as we see the birds and the lilies, they're clothed and taken care of. They have absolutely no worries, no anxiety over it whatsoever. Second thing, thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you've clothed me, despite all of my worries and everything else. You've clothed me so wonderfully, and you've given me so much, I have no need to be anxious about anything. Third, confession. Lord, here I confess that I am a wretched sinner. Even though you've showered all these blessings upon me, I am so full of anxiety and worry over 1,000 things, 999.9 of which never occur at all. I am a thankless swine. And then finally, a prayer. Dear Lord, enlighten me with your word, with your gospel, comfort my heart. Help me not to be so anxious and to trust in you for all these things. Amen.
One of the things that Luther says, and I'm just working from memory here, having read that simple way to pray long ago, and I should revisit it.
Yes, you should.
Is I think Luther likens prayer to what Peter did for a living, handling a razor at someone's neck. And he says, prayer is a dangerous thing, and you ought to have the same kind of concentration in prayer as the barber does when he's shaving one of his customers.
Yeah, he does say that, focusing on specific texts. Although it's very interesting, at the same time, in the same track, he says, if your mind, after studying the text, if the Holy Spirit starts to preach, then let your mind go. Isn't that interesting? Sounds a bit fanatical to us Lutherans, but no, it's not. Why? Because the Spirit speaks through the Word. I remember John Kleinig saying one time, in quite an astonishing fashion, that if you're listening to a sermon and you're all of a sudden you hear something that stirs your sort of pious thoughts, and you detach yourself from what's continuing to be said in the sermon, and your mind is kind of wandering on this spiritual point. He said you should not coerce your mind not to do that. Isn't that interesting? He also said, and many times coming out of preaching, that people would say something, you know, thank you for so-and-so in your sermon, and he had actually never said that. So the Spirit prompts through the Word, and as Luther says, the Spirit preaches, and you should stop and listen to the Spirit preaching through His Word. I find, very interesting, I find my best thoughts for sermons come while I'm listening to sermons. I'm not kidding you. I've got to preach the next day or the day after. I'll be listening to a sermon, and all of a sudden, boom, I've got in my mind 3 points for the next sermon. It just comes together like, and I used to think that is some kind of sinful thing, but I fundamentally believe this is the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God being preached to me. And so this interplay between form and freedom in Luther is brilliant, and that is a fantastic tool for meditating on any part of the Word of God and having a prayer life that is based firmly in the Word of God.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, author of a column in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Simple Way to Pray. We're going to talk a little bit more about prayer, a big prayer, an ancient prayer that he recommends to us, especially during this Lenten season. It's called the Litany, and why it is so valuable, why it has been deemed so valuable for its 1,500 years and by that 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Right after this, more Issues, Etc. Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues, Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. It's Wednesday afternoon, March the 14th. Talking about prayer. A little bit later, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. We'll talk about same-sex marriage in the UK and a proposed ban on the cross and the crucifix. They don't want you wearing them in the workplace in the UK, and see what he has to say about that. Matt, you also recommend to us, especially in this Lenten season with regard to prayer, a very ancient prayer that was valued highly by that 16th century reformer Martin Luther called the Litany. What is it?
Yeah, the Litany comes from probably 500 A.D. or so, and it was an expanded Kyrie, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. And of course, during the early Middle Ages and the struggles with the plague, etc., the Kyrie was lengthened considerably into the Litany. And this Litany is based upon the Word of God. It prays for the various needs of the church, the world, pastors, those who govern in the civil realm, mothers with infant children, every possible, those in danger, in war, those in danger from bad weather. It prays for grace, prays for contemplation of the sufferings of Christ. It prays, it's just a wonderful, wonderful, fulsome prayer that draws us out of sort of ourselves. If we just sit there with our eyes closed, with no text in mind, it can very well happen that our prayers become very, very much self-absorbed. But when we have a fulsome text that is rich with the Bible, it pulls us out of ourselves to pray for the whole Church of God on earth, for all people, for the reception of the gospel, for those in need, for those suffering, and all based on the suffering, death, and life of Jesus. So Luther loved it, and he put out a German version, and as a matter of fact, then the Anglicans at the same time based their litany, which came to be in the Book of Common Prayer, in large measure upon Luther's translation.
Two quick things for you, Matt, before we let you go. Luther's said to have said that, the harder his day ahead of him seemed, the longer he needed to pray before the day began. Do you find this true in your life as well?
Yeah, and it's kind of it's a constant struggle. You know, if I come to work full of course, sinful anxiety, or I may be on the phone on the way to work, or already have checked my email at home or something, or got text messages and who knows what, and so I might have three or four issues in my mind, and as a matter of fact, my anxiety level may have risen. And so when that happens, my routine is to come right into my office, go right to my kneeler and pray. And I keep a long list of people I pray for, people and things I pray for. And I do that because when things are answered, especially, boy, you see it. It's amazing right in front of you. But as you pray for these things daily. But yes, when I'm distracted, when I need to pray the most and most thoughtfully, I find myself distracted. It's inevitable with our condition. Luther would often, he was so busy in the early years that he would of the Reformation that he would get behind in his prayers during the week and then lock himself in his cell on Saturdays to catch up praying for quite a while. So it's always the case. We should pray more. It's a matter of the law. We should pray more. We should pray in a better way. We should pray with more diligence, concentration. But the bottom line is, it's all covered in the blood of Jesus. Because of Jesus, our Father hears us as though he were listening to his own dear Son, who is making constant intercession for us, whether we are praying for not or not, and he hears our groans as though they were the most beautiful and lucid, clear intercession of his own beloved Son, crying, Abba, Father.
Matt, before we let you go, I understand that you have hit the half-century mark today. Is that right?
Yes, I was 49 in Holden up until a few hours ago.
Happy birthday.
Hey, thanks.
I hope you're taking some of that day off.
Well, I'm just in here to talk to you, and then I'm getting out of here. I'm going to have a proper good time of it here this afternoon.
Well,
my folks are in town. We're going to have a good time.
Oh, that's good to hear. We began, Issues Etc. began broadcasting on a new St. Louis affiliate this week, KFUO Radio, owned and operated by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And all of us here at Lutheran Public Radio, thank you for your support.
Well, we're so delighted that you've been willing to come back. And it's such a wonderful arrangement. And you have those 2 hours free to advertise as you wish. And it's also great for KFUO because you're paying us to be on the show or on KFUO. So thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do. You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of a column in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Simple Way to Pray. You can read this column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Happy birthday, Matt, and thanks for being our guest.
God bless.